Have you ever Googled baptism videos? I mean, I can't imagine that most people have. I do it because I'm a liturgical nerd, but most people I don't think do that. And also, in the Episcopal Church, it's pretty serene how we do baptisms. Maybe it's a holdover from trying to uphold our British Anglican past. We keep a stiff upper lip, and we do just a little dab of water, and then it's done. There are, though, some more extreme Anglicans. Some of their baptisms involve kneeling in a pool of water while more water is poured over their heads. Or even, this is something I would like to try sometime, being gently lowered into a lake or river, being cradled in your priest's arms. But this was not what I found on Google. In fact, there are even some baptismal videos that have gone viral. One such video shows a supposed Greek Orthodox priest holding a baby up by its arms as he lifts it over his head, and then, if trying to throw the baby against the ground as hard as possible, he flings the baby in the font in front of him three times, only holding on to his arms. And then he swings it around and hands it off to someone else. Now, I should offer the caveat that the Greek Orthodox Church has said that this is not one of their clergy, nor is it indicative of how they perform baptisms. But still, no one is sure exactly who this priest is or what church he belongs to. He could be out there doing these baptisms. We don't know. And then in another video, it shows an elderly French priest standing before a crying baby in its mother's arms, just about to be baptized. He cradles it with one arm, looking like he's hugging its head. The baby's crying, kind of hysterical, and he whispers to it, "Calm down, calm down, calm down." And then pow! With his other hand, he slaps it. He reached his tolerance for the baby's crying. In another video from Russia, it shows a hole cut in the middle of a lake that is completely iced over in the winter, and there is a seemingly endless line of adults that are held by their arms and come forward, and then they get dipped into the water by two people, lifted out, and chucked into the snow. A very cold way to get baptized, I imagine. And the last one I'm going to tell you about was from a megachurch in Ohio. In a series of baptisms, all adult baptisms, those being baptized are sitting in a rectangular pool. That's straightforward enough. And the pastor holds on to their arm and their neck, and he lifts them so that they're partially standing out of the water. And then he slams them down underneath. He brings them back up to sitting with a quick shove, and he ruffles their hair, and in a most bro-y gesture, steps back, looking incredibly proud of himself. In another video at the same church, he is so enthused by the baptism that he wraps his arm around the man's neck and slams him once more into the font, this time going in with him. Now, we do baptism a little bit differently in the Episcopal Church. The Book of Common Prayer tells us that a sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. While all of these methods of the sacrament of baptism, I think, are truly horrifying, they all offer a very clear example of this outward sign. In none of these videos will anyone doubt that they have gone through the very real, very sensory-loaded experience of being baptized. Nor will they doubt the enormity and, quite frankly, the danger that we are put in when we are bound together with Jesus. Baptism does not just mark us for a day, but it marks us for eternity. Now, Mark doesn't give us many details of Jesus' baptism. We know that people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to John to be baptized, and Jesus came too. The only detail we get is simply, Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan. Pretty simple, straightforward. But from this reading alone, we have no idea how Jesus felt before his baptism, or during his baptism, or after his baptism. We don't know if he got a little sprinkle, or if he got a football tackle dunking. And we may even be tempted to write off his baptism as kind of unmemorable, maybe a dud. But then, something amazing happens. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And okay, let's be honest. These events take the cake when it comes to things one would remember about their baptism. Birds sitting on your head, voices from heaven, it's all incredibly impressive. But it does something else for Jesus and for us. It tells us who he is, his identity deep down at his core. The throngs of people that are gathered to get baptized in the Jordan don't see the dove. They don't hear the voice. They don't see the heavens cracked open. But Jesus does. And we do as listeners and readers. We see what happens too. And it's no coincidence that this marks the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the start of him living into the fullness of his identity. Queer theologians have done a better job than most at accessing and describing what this baptism does internally in the life of Christ, as well as the inward sign that it transforms in the life of all those who have been baptized since. The gay mystic Andrew Harvey believes that baptism is the first threshold that Christians must cross in our faith journey. And queer theologian Thomas Bohash connects this first step to the coming out process. At his baptism, Jesus comes out as the Messiah. I get this analogy. Coming out requires one to learn about themselves deeply, to be comfortable with who they are, and to embrace a journey of continual growth into that person that God has created them to be. It is a lifelong plus journey that starts with where we've been and where we are, but also continues with God beyond this life. It's a process of abandoning the things that we are not, the ideas that others have put on us, the things that do not bring us life, and the things that keep us from fully embracing God and one another. And it's in this way that all people, queer, straight, allies, must come out if they're going to be defiant against a world marked by greed and fear and domination and oppression. To stand against these forces is to come out as a follower of Jesus. To align yourself with the marginalized. And to fight against the powers that enslave others. But coming out is a dangerous thing. Many, if not all, people coming out may think, What if those who love me turn their backs on me? What if others don't accept me? What if someone hurts me physically? What if I don't fit in? What if my full self is rejected or hurt? This is as true for someone who is coming out as a follower of Christ, too. I was baptized on Christmas Day in 1983 in a small bowl, in a font, in a Presbyterian church. Afterwards, the pastor of the church wrote me a letter that still lives in my baby book. He told me of the great love that the congregation and God had for me, of the unconditional love that I and everyone find in Jesus. I was only 4 months old, and I don't remember it, but I doubt that the event was particularly dangerous, and it seems unlikely that anybody saw a spirit alight on me. To my knowledge, there were no birds in the sanctuary that day, and any thunderous sounds were probably just my own crying. We're also inside, so I can't really speak to the heavens opening. I also wasn't slapped or thrown or dunked or frozen or tackled. It was a simple baptism in a simple church, much like the ones I have witnessed since. But following Jesus, opening the fullness of myself to God, was a dangerous act that I became engaged in. It has been a process that has involved a lot of struggle, but also so much joy. And so here is the risk of baptism, and it's this. It means that you will be seen. It means that you, the fullness of you that you can't even fully fathom, the good, the bad, the worst, the secrets you wouldn't tell anyone, all of it, is beloved by God. It means that God in every way knows you and is still well pleased. Just like Jesus, while every person is coming up out of the waters of baptism, God is declaring, "You are my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And God will keep reminding us of this until we finally believe it. If you had the choice right now, would you be willing to open up, to be fully seen, and shed anything that is holding you back from the person that God has created you to be? Could you let this happen and just take the plunge?